All human beings wants to be happy, wants to feel relaxed, wants to be in harmony with themselves and everything else. But this seems like it's more and more difficult because we're living in such a unnatural society, you know. Everybody is stressed, everybody is in conflict, everybody is running around. So you have to help yourself to slow down, to come back to yourself. It's never been like this before. No, you are not the slave of somebody else like it was in the past. But you are slave of yourself, of your cell phone, of your computers, of your mind, of your habit. And the only way to break that is to consciously do it. First you have to recognize the fact, and then you have to take the necessary steps. How to get free. You should be free, you shouldn't be a slave of anything. That's why I call this retreat the natural self, coming back to your own natural self. But that you have to help yourself to. Only you can do it. I create the atmosphere, I create the place for it. But you have to get out of your own way, your own habits. To see and feel the deep need you have yourself. Welcome. Let's start with the fools and then gradually, hopefully, come to the wise people. Because that's how the path is. First you are fool, and then maybe one day you become wise. Who knows? To my dear beloved Babaji, Bolnath. First of all, I want to say I love you incredibly much, and I am grateful for your existence. I'm so grateful for this fantastic place and for everybody in the Sangha. I have tried not to write you because the ultimate answer is silence. Nothing asked, nothing answered. But I feel a pressure from inside to write you, so I give in. Don't think about ultimate answer and nothing asked, nothing answered, because you are not there. When the ultimate is realized, then there is no input, no instinct to ask anything. And as long as there is anything to ask, I'm here. First time I came to you was in 2010. A lot has happened on this journey. A lot of ups and downs, back and forth. Slowly, I have become more mature. Consciousness is with me almost all the time, in different ways. It has been less than the last 2 years since I let myself be fooled by the mind. I was in such a good space, all my thoughts had diminished so much, and those that came were observed and disappeared before they set root in me. I was so happy and ecstatic that I had to force myself to come to the retreat. When I came here, nothing changed much. I was just so light and happy. It felt as if the battle was won and the victory was mine. But I was unaware of how cunning my mind had become. Don't underestimate your mind. And many times on this journey, you will feel, now I've finished. I'm so happy. And then it comes back with revenge. With revenge. Who are you to be so good? Who are you to be so high? Who are you to be so enlightened? This is just part of the process to see how cunning your mind had become and still is. Because first, when you came, you had no idea. You were your mind. And then by meditating and coming here, coming closer to me, then you start getting a distance to your mind. But then it's the mind, your ego, that takes that taste of freedom. So it's tricky. That's when the thought and feeling came. You have already found the way home. So if you go out and play, it is not a problem. This dimension is made exactly to play and experiment, isn't it? This is the mind. Because if you have found your way home, there is nothing to play or experiment with. Everything is as it should be. Whatever is happening is exactly as it should be. So it means that it is somebody there that wants to play an experiment. And who is this person? If you are already at the party, how can you think about going to the party then now? If you are already in peace, you don't think about finding peace. If you have already found love, you don't look for love. It means that it's not there. It was a bit difficult to argue with this thought because it sounded so right. It sounded very tempting, that's why. You make it into your own satisfaction, no? That's why the mind is so tricky. The thought was that I would play with forces, use the mind to manifest things, get things to happen with the mind. Yes, then whatever has been given to you, whatever you have realized, you misuse. That is another thing to remember on the journey. Because the more you mature, the more conscious you become, the easier it is to play games, of course. Till you come to the ultimate stage that even gods and goddesses and devils comes to corrupt you. That's the story of Jesus when he went in the desert. He wanted to be just with himself, with God. Then the devil come. How can you sit here? Come, let's go to the party. Let's go to the red light district, my dear Jesus. Have some fun. No, you have all these powers. You can do anything. That's the meaning of that. You can sell your soul. And the higher you go, of course, the more you can go. You can get the whole world and the ultimate. In the beginning, people are tempted just, you can get corrupted just by $10, no? A poor person. $1,000, if you are a little more. $1,000,000 can corrupt almost anybody. So this is the story. The higher you go, the more. The devil wanted to give everything. And I have experienced that myself. Anything can get manifested. And if you then are weak, then you misuse your power. You misuse your consciousness and then you fall. Pam. In India, it's hundreds of those people, so-called gurus and masters, they have got some spiritual power and then they become a sensation. They can manifest something, they can do something, they can read the mind. But this is not enlightenment, this is not clarity, this is not a saint. It's somebody who misused their power, who needs attention. If you find peace, it's just the opposite. You don't want attention. So, always be careful if you feel you have some clarity or you have something that you play with the forces. No, you have been so lucky that you have some insight some energy start changing inside you. No, that energy is needed to rise. That's why it's happening. But because you're unconscious, the ego takes it. Then you can misuse it to be somebody in the world, to play some games, for some materialistic things, for some physical things, for some pleasures. These are just tests. So you fell in it, which is normal because you came here and then you have a ladder that goes up and I want to take you up there on the roof so you can see, no? But then you take 1, 2, 3 steps and then you see, wow, how beautiful. This I have never seen. I feel almost weightless. My God, unbelievable. Thank you, Master. Thank you. Then you run. Ta 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 ta. I'm finished now. I have seen everything. No, it's just the beginning. Just the beginning. Just a little test. I have experienced earlier that these things are possible. So I did a bit of experimenting, and some were good and some were failures. It was fun and exciting when it worked, but otherwise it was frustrating when it didn't work. Yes, but in reality it doesn't matter if it works or it didn't work, because it's all ego gratification. Either the ego is hurt if it doesn't happen, or the ego is very happy when it happens. It's the same bugger. Exactly the same idiot. Either you feel very happy it worked. No, I managed that. No, I got that money. No, I got that woman or that man or that image. No, I got that recognition. But it's the same idiot. It was fun and exciting when it worked, but otherwise it was frustrating when it didn't work. This experiment ended up becoming greedy and restless in me. Yes, because everything that is false will give you suffering. Remember, anything that is false will give you pain and suffering and restlessness. And that which is true, which is real, will give you peace, will give you lightness, will give you happiness. That is the law. It always has been like that and it will always be like that. But for some reason, we are not strong enough. So we listen to those unconscious desires, impulses that we can do against ourselves, even if you know it's wrong. Because you have the opportunity to do it, then you do it. Then you have to suffer. And most humans, they suffer like that the whole life because they don't see the mechanism. So the first step is to change these unconscious habits. Because everybody comes into this life with bad tendency and so-called good tendency, with consciousness and unconsciousness. Only humans have this choice, to do good or to do bad. But it's so tempting to do something bad, no? Something you can gain on. Then you're hiding from yourself, but you cannot hide from yourself. You know what you are doing. And then that will becomes a tension and a restlessness and a conflict inside you. And that is how most human beings are living. They're living with a great tension and restlessness and pain inside, because you go against your own self. And if you don't learn from that, then it becomes more and more and more and more and more. And more you have to hide it. I didn't think I could fall so badly. Yeah. When you are happy, then you never think. But if you look out into yourself, and that's what I'm here for, reminding you again and again and again and again, to know yourself, to study yourself, to see how the mind, your desires, your ego works. Because then you can see what you did to yourself, what you created yourself. I didn't think I could fall so badly, but I always had a small eye open and was observing what was happening to me. And that must be very, very small eye. My suspicion is you have no idea about observing, because if you observe the way I mean by observing it, which is witnessing, then you see what your action will be before you do it. And then you cannot do it. But because your mind is going ahead of you, then you do things without feeling and thinking and having your intuition and your heart with you. Because you have some desires, you want something. Or you just want to have fun. Fun, no? And then afterwards you suffer because it wasn't real fun. Mm-hmm. No, I'm a little wiser than before. That I hope, if you are alone, and especially now when I read this letter to you, maybe you will get a little wiser. That is my only prayer, get a little wiser. I had to start from ABC again, but it's absolutely worth it. Anything is worth it if you walk on the real path, because it makes you more real. But you have to take notice of the stupidities you're doing to yourself, which is very painful in the beginning, because you think you are perfect, you think everything is fine, you think the whole life is totally fine, and then you don't know what a fool you are. That is one of the uncomfortable things a so-called master has to point out to you, what a fool you are. You have to work to become wise, which you see now. You didn't know how hard you would fall. But that fall is necessary, otherwise you wouldn't see it. That's why again and again I'm want you to look at yourself. It's not so easy. This to wake up is not so easy because you are so asleep. Never more shall I let that sneaky one mind come back again, come back in again. That I like to see. Mm. this is not an easy thing, because that means you always have to be vigilant. You have to be on guard. And are you on guard? Are you vigilant? Are you alert? It's like that. If you are protecting what is most valuable, your wife, your husband, your child, all your money, or what to say about your master, which I did, so I have experience with that. You have to be vigilant. Anybody can come. You have to be vigilant every second, because something can happen any second. It's not in 1 hour. And that is how the mind is always comes with different things and keeps you away from the moment. Your mind is keeping you away from what you are doing here and now. That's why you are missing. You are somewhere else. So you have to be very, very alert to catch this, to bring yourself back again to this moment. And that is what I mean to be alert, vigilant, no? Of the mind. So it's easy to say, never more shall I let that sneaky mind come back in again. Very easy to, it's a different story to do it. But good luck. Do you have any advice and guidance, Babaji? I have a lot, which I give you all the time. Just listen to any of my talks and you will see. I always say the same. Be alert. Watch the mind. Come back to yourself. Be in the moment. But before also you can do, which I think is very good, Bolinat. Now you know how hard you can fall. You know this part, how sneaky it is. That means that hopefully you will become more real and more dedicated to yourself, to the search. Because maybe in the beginning it's just a game. Then one day it becomes a reality. Then it becomes your whole life. And only then will something change. It cannot be one part. It has to be top of the list. Otherwise, only small changes will happen, which is great. When you step only used to walking on the ground and you come up 3 steps, it looks fantastic. But it's not the end. I think I have gone through most of the traps. No, you haven't. But you can, if you are very, very alert, because there is no time, there is no steps even. If you really are witnessing and if you are understood, then you can stop it here and now. You never need to get tempted anymore. You never need to get attracted to your mind, what the mind says. You can be rooted in your heart, in your belly, from this very moment. But are you ready to be truthful? Or are the false instincts so tempting still? That is up to you. But it is available. Is there anything else I should look out for? The only thing you have to look out for, and everybody has to look out for, is the mind. So it should be a very easy thing. Only one thing you have to be aware of. Not to get tricked into all the bad things by your mind. And all the doubt and all the pain and all the projections and all the jealousy and all the anger and all the conflict and all the stress. Only the mind, what is so easy? How come it's so difficult? Because you're so identified with the mind, it's the whole package. And the mind, it comes in a million different ways. So you think you chop one head there, and then it comes two. Then you take those, boom, and then the five there. Ideas. So you have to pull it up by the root. When what happens when you pull the whole root up with the mind? Nothing more left. Can you live like that? Just empty. Watching. Then you have to learn to function from that. You have to learn to function from emptiness. So, it's a long journey to get rid of the mind, which very, very few people manage. And it's not even a managing, because it's happening. It's grace, it's beyond you, you cannot do it. It's a gift from existence. Then it's also a long journey to use the mind again. First, the mind was the enemy, then your mind can be your servant, which is what it should be. I think I've gone through most of the traps, but is there anything else I should look out for? I can't promise that I will manage to follow it, but I shall take it with me and use it when I need it. Otherwise, I'm in good, and I'm in better than most. What is most better? You are better than most. That is again the mind. You cannot compare. The mind always likes to compare, because you can find, oh, I'm better than you, I'm better than her, I'm better than him, I'm better than all, I'm better than most. Or the other side, I'm worse than most. I'm worse than you, I'm worse than her. It's the same bugger. Just be yourself, that's what I'm saying. Just be yourself. What is this most?
I wasn't talking about people here.
Like. No. Here. These people are fine. You should learn from all of these people. But most, yes. I smile, I'm silly. Yes, that is the, this is the first really true. And I integrate more and more silence again. And to show my gratitude, I promise you that I shall reach the goal. How can you, when you can't even promise that you will follow my advice, and then you promise that you see, this is again the mind. No, look how hot he is now. He's sweating like he's in the sauna. And that's another thing here, very good purification. You don't need to go to the sauna, you just come here and then sweat it out. Don't promise. Why do I care? I'm just telling you the truth. You don't need to promise me anything. I don't expect anything from you. I'm just telling you things as it is. What you do is up to you. And anyway, promise from a fool doesn't mean much. Much love for yours and Osho's and Prabhupada's flame that burns in my heart forever. I love you, your humble and lazy servant, Bulina. It's okay to be lazy, but never be lazy on the inner journey. And my advice is to follow your own true nature. But that is very tricky, because you don't know your own true nature. You're following still your instinct, your mind, your desires, your wishes, your dreams. So before you have cut through that and seen through that and suffered with that, you cannot come to the real. Very good. My advice, no advice. I can have some suggestions sometimes, but whatever you do. Only changes can only happen out of your own deep understanding. No? If you don't understand something, you cannot do anything with it, and it will be an effort. I'm not for any effort. I'm all for understanding and clarity. Because when you understand something, then it heals. It relaxes. For all the fools, may they be happy. One thing is true, words of truth. A happy fool is better than a sad fool. One point to you. Out of the blue, when I was unprepared, I started seeing you, hearing your voice. They had even enlightened people going around just smiling and laughing, you know. Maybe you could be one that just creates happiness. Love will lead us on. Everywhere we go, love will lead us on. My heart tell me so. Love will lead us on. And on and on. And love will lead us on.
Song.
Where is Taranga, Jasper? Blessed Vasanswara. Some 3 weeks ago, I was meditating in the woods. Was very, very sad, heartbroken. Realized that I met that these last years. Then, suddenly you said it was Jasper that died, not Taranga. And then you said, come as fast as you can. I wrote the mail to Dharma Mountain the next morning, and now I'm here. It's so good to be back. Love, Taranga. P.S. Let's see how much Jasper still needs to be around. He doesn't need to be around. Do you think? Huh? No. So I'm saying also to you, he doesn't need to be around, because you were very, very sad, and you met that very much these last years, and I said it was Jasper that died, not Taranga. So Jasper is the old. He was very, very sad. That's your past, which is just the name. Don't be identified with the name. That's why I gave you a new name. And Taranga means just like a wave. It's alive, it's changing. How long is a wave, before it becomes the next wave? We say that's the wave, and then it changes, then a new wave, like that. That is your true nature, is always flowing, it doesn't stagnant, no? What is false, which is your ego, your identification, that is fixed. It becomes fixed, it becomes something solid, becomes something heavy, identified with that, that is your whole story, your burden. Realizing that is not you, that name, that form is not you. Then who am I? You are something beyond the name and the form, which can never be heartbroken and sad. Only that which comes can die. That is Jasper. That which is always there can never die. But something was in you that when you really were desperate and down, then you remembered me, something else, from the beyond, beyond the name and form, from love, from truth. Come as fast as you can, I said. And it's good to be back. No function as the new. Jasper can still be on your passport, there's no problem. But remember, you are not that. Everybody needs a name, no big deal. But I'm not that. Then the problems start. That's the whole problem with people now. Who are you? I'm Olof Putet. Yes, oh, nice to meet you. What do you know about? I know a lot about potatoes. Not much else. That's okay. Potatoes are innocent people. And very good also. What should we do without potatoes? That's what Medita says. Where's Medita? Why are you hiding? Where? It's awfully hard to rest with all this love and fire inside my chest. Put that blue one. You can fry them, you can cook them, you can boil them, just like shrimps. You can barbecue them. When Jesus said, my body is this bread and my blood this drink, had he merged with all of creation or found some fountain of you? Now I see what I thought was alchemy. Just the literal truth. And you don't need to be a Christian mystic or be born under a lucky star. You only need to be still and ask who you are. Be still and know who you are. You don't need to read loud too. Just look around, this is the sound. Do you
clapping, one heart singing, one being, being me and you. Only one unmoving ocean where many waves pass through. And you don't need to be Zen Buddhist to pierce the heart of this mystery. Only need to be willing to stop and see what is still and free. And you don't need to be whirling dervish or study scripture or travel far.
Antaranga, if you like to go in the forest to meditate in the woods, this is perfect, huh? Perfect. So for all of you, when you are here, when we have this beautiful nature here and this beautiful weather, you should really spend time in nature. But in new ways, in conscious ways that you slow down, is no where to reach. You can go as slow as you want and sit wherever you want, spend as much time as you want, any place, laying down, sitting, hugging a tree, observing the birds, the river. You should slow down and observe and feel how the nature is, how relaxed the nature is, and then let that come into you, let it help you. It can be very healing, but you have to help yourself to do it. Beloved Master, when there is no apparent questions to ask, when one feels grateful to be alive, and there is more and more an acceptance of things as they are, but still there is forgetfulness, identification with the body-mind, and subtle desires, the mind still active, and often the focus of attention. Then is effort still needed to clean the mirror of consciousness, or by just understanding deeply the truth of being and let it unfold and the cleaning is done by itself? love Ram. Effort is, it is a paradox because effort is always needed in the beginning because you are stuck in the mud, so you have to have effort to bring yourself out of the mud. A lot of effort. But it comes a time where effort as such is not needed because by your effort, by your own self-effort, self-consciousness is awakening. Your awareness is awakening. So as long as this witnessing self, your consciousness, has been awakened, you can use the consciousness to study yourself. That is, in a way, effortless. Because effort, you think as a doing. That is effort. But it's also an effort to be vigilant, to be on guard. But in a way, when awareness has come to a certain point, then it's effortless. Because that's the thing you want. You want to be aware. You want to be conscious. So if your focus is that I want to be conscious, I want to be awake, then that happens by itself. It's not an effort. So it's difficult to talk about it because it is and it is not. Some says that the effort is needed to the last moment. And it is a kind of effort. But in my experience, effort was needed in the beginning to ignite the engine as such. And then when you ignite your inner fire, your inner consciousness, and that consciousness wants to go home, then it becomes effortless. But that depends how total you are. How directed you are, how focused you are. So, is effort needed to clean the mirror of consciousness? No, because consciousness is always clean. Effort is needed to get away your identification with the mind. So the consciousness can come forth. Then you use that consciousness to watch yourself. In the beginning, you are not used to yourself because you are identified with the mind. When consciousness is growing, it will take over by itself because all consciousness, it wants to come home, it wants to be clear, it wants to be free. So in a way, both is needed. It depends on where you are. You have been with me long time, so I don't feel there is any effort needed. But it's difficult because somebody comes a new, a lot of effort is needed. to ignite yourself, to ignite your heart, to free you from the mind, to settle in your heart. But you are settled. You are with me. Your life is with me. So it's effortless. But that is on a totally different level than when you come. And they say devotion to the master is all you need. No more sadhana you need. No more meditation, no nothing. That is the consciousness. You are focused. So it's either self-effort or a surrender. It's just to understand, but deeper even than understanding, to realize deeply the truth of being and let it unfold, and then the cleaning is done by itself. The whole cleaning happens in that watchfulness. So whatever is coming up of the mind, whatever tendencies comes up, you can just watch it without responding to that input. When one is weak, then you get identified with the thought, and the thought can take you anywhere to do any stupid things because you have no consciousness. You are weak. You have no idea how to be a master over yourself, over your mind, over your feelings, over your emotions. So then you can get lost very easily. Any impulse and you are gone. And that's how ordinary people are. As you become more steady, then whatever impulse, whatever thought comes, you can watch it. You are not identified with it. There's no need to go with it. It's just any thought is just like a cloud passing over the sky. If you don't focus on that cloud, it doesn't have much power over you. It's your power, your identification with it. So it's very different because it's different stages of the journey. And to understand deeply or to watch, to be come from your witnessing, then you have to already be one. You have to be crystallized in yourself. You have to be focused. In the beginning, people are fragmented. They are all over the place. Then they can't focus. When you have found some peace, some center in yourself, which is the whole way of seeing what I call the homework, first you are just fragmented, you're all different ideas, you're spread all over the place. It's not only one of you, it's many, 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 many. You have to bring all those into one, you have to center yourself, you have to become crystallized, you have to come back. Now, when you are back, when you have a center which you didn't have before when you came, then only can you start watching out from your true self. Now, the work takes a totally different side. So, in a way, it becomes effortless. But the mind is very strong. I remember when I was still in Pune, and some people were very attracted to me. I hadn't become like a Guru Baba yet. I was very nervous with that, and I was in hiding. But some people found me, of course, because it's very difficult to hide when people are sensitive. And one of my first students there, we were sitting in the bamboo grove there in the ashram, and it was so nice, and anything he asked me, he got the answer for, and it was beautiful. He was totally with me. Then suddenly he looked at the watch and he said, "No, I have to go." And I said, "Have to go? Go for what? No. No, it's a sitting in the samadhi, Osho Samadhi in Changtse." And I said, "Okay." And this is how the mind is. He's already, you are already where you want to be. He's sitting with me, totally gone. Then the mind comes, "Oh, my plan was I should go and meditate there." And then he came back afterwards, I met him next day, and he said, "My God, I was sitting there, my mind was racing like hell. How could I leave you?" And I said, "This is how the mind is. Even if you're already, you have still some..." So this is what I mean. You have to be a master over yourself. Which is very difficult because you have all these instincts. And before you are crystallized, they are running and want to take you everywhere. But there comes a time where you just relax into yourself. "More and more I feel life itself is the greatest practice, in fact the only practice to live more consciously." Yes, and it should be, because you are life. So life is the only meditation. For me, meditation is not separate. And meditation shouldn't be something you do for 1 hour a day, if you do that, which you should do definitely in the beginning. But it should be 24 hours a day. But that is only when you see the value of it, when you are relaxing in yourself in meditation. Life itself is the greatest practice, yes. It's the only practice. But that is with awareness. No, you can go with life. Because you are not... It's very different from a beginner to somebody who is more settled. Because when I said just go with life, you have no idea, you're just a driftwood. You can end up anywhere. You have no direction, you have no crystallization. So that means freedom, freedom on the outside. For many people, that is the only freedom. I'm free to go wherever, I'm free to do whatever stupid thing I want to do. That is not the freedom this Babas are talking about. It's an inner freedom that you are not getting involved with your mind, your instinct. You are free, you are watching it. Then nothing more is needed. Life always gives. The best meditation all the time. Look at all your meetings when you interact. How you could study yourself, but your awareness is not strong enough. So you get involved, you lose yourself. Then maybe you feel hurt, you feel angry, you feel sad. You are wondering what's happening. Then it's misunderstood, misunderstandings, all this. So, you are here. It's nothing to do. Nothing to think about. That is the easiest, just to be here. And blessed are those who can. And in all the Indian scriptures, they say, by devotion to the Guru, one attains liberation without any knowledge. And knowledge practice is effort. for those blessed ones who are unflinching in their devotion to the Guru, no other sadhana, practice or meditation is needed. Because in devotion, you are open. Whatever is supposed to happen will happen. That is the whole thing, just openness, readiness. That can only come from understanding, that can only come from the heart. That is not you. It is the Guru, it is the love, it is the big work. So, it's very different from person to person. Prabhupada introduced me to one book called Yoga Vashishta. And in that, one of the things it says, once your own conscience has arisen, there is no need for the master to be hard on you. He has to be hard because you had false conscience, false ideas in the first place. All that had to be destroyed. So in the beginning, people doesn't have conscience. You don't know what is wrong, what is right. You don't know what is good for you, what is bad for you. You're just all over. You are listening just to your own mind. So, conscience is something, what I would call your inner voice, your heart. That is what they mean. So, before this is awakened in you, you are dressed like a driftwood. That is part of what the master has to ignite that conscience in you, to see what is good for you, what is bad for you. What are you doing in your life? When death has arisen, there is no need for the master to be hard on you, to hit you. So remember, if anybody anytime feels any hit or any that is hard, it's because you are lost. You don't know what you are doing. You need direction. When that conscience is awakened in you, when you listen to your own, which is the same as the master, is only one heart, then there is no more conflict. When you are out of the way, then you trust, you have proof that this is like it is. Then more devotion, more surrender, more understanding. He had to be hard because your own conscience has to be crystallized. When it has crystallized, you have your own center of being. Then the master at last can smile and relax. That's what he does. Sometimes the master smiles to you. Because now, at last. Now she looks at peace. Half the work is done. But remember, half the work is done. Now for the first time you are crystallized, you have a conscience. You are in tune. You can start understanding the master on a different level. There is trust, there is intimacy, there is love, there is devotion, there is understanding. You have your own conscience. Now there is no need for any outer discipline from the Master for you. Know you have your own inner light, which will show you what is wrong and what is right. You can trust yourself. And when you trust yourself, then the Master can also trust you. In fact, the Master trusts you anyway, but you just fuck it up so often. This is the old meaning of the Master smiling. It is felt. The Master feels that you are home in yourself. When really you attain to your own conscience, you will feel the Master smiles falling within you, around you, showering you. They will surround you from every corner of your being. That is why the Master celebrates the birth of your inner conscience. In fact, that's what the Master wants, that you come back into yourself, into your heart, to awaken your own inner light. Then there is no conflict, and then it's a tremendous trust from the disciple to the Master, because he wouldn't get that without the guidance, without this trust. And this only human beings are free to choose what they want in their life. Being weak and lost, you get lost to your instinct. Having the desire for freedom, you start listening, learning, coming back, regaining your own inner light, your conscience, your awareness. And that itself will guide you. And in the old scripture they said, this is the noble ones. This is the only royal people in this world, who create their own conscience, their own understanding, and listening to their own hearts. Then they are not the slave of the instinct, of the mind, of others. They know. And in reality, there is no others. There is only one heart. I am that.
Joga calma re. chakra.